Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Jackie, you're immortalized
in a comic book.
It came out. It's so cute.
It's adorable, isn't it?
Yeah, Andy's in it. It's adorable.
Right. She did such a great job. Oh, my God. I had her name in my brain box. It's Sarah Bruni?
Bruni.
Yeah. And she listens to the show, and she's outstanding. And I think we should hire her to make a logo or something. I mean, there's a lot of people, but we got it. We're mixing it up. We're spreading the wealth around. So many people, the tiny amount of wealth.
There is a lot of wealth.
There's so much wealth. But I think that like everybody was psyched about the to be on the list because Chris, who runs the Twitter account, made a new poster.
He did.
And everyone was like, hey.
I realize we're causing the pain that we complain about. We are.
Right.
We've got a list.
Right.
The thing is, it's one a week. We can't, you can't move time faster.
No.
And there's people that we thought we had already, because we've talked about them.
Right.
Friends of ours. Right. So we assumed that they'd already been a comic of the week. And also it feels... You know, like, who are we? Who cares? But, when it gets passed around on Twitter, it's like, yeah, why the fuck am I not on that thing?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I totally understand.
Well, that's because we're living it. And, of course, it's December, so all the end of year lists are coming out. And...
You said we both made the top 2,000?
Yeah. Do you know why? Because there's buzz. We both have a lot of buzz. You'd realize that I didn't know that it was a joke. For about four or five, too long. It's like I'm the worst with practical jokes. I'm genuinely.
Were we higher than Dane Cook? He's in the 900s. He's in the high 900s.
What does it go? I didn't find us. I refused to look through all of it. Somebody else did.
Yeah,
but I did a practical joke on you this weekend. And I wanted to tell you immediately. I wanted to tell you immediately, but because I'm the worst at play. I was like, and Andy was like, she will get that it's not real.
It looked real to me.
And for a heartbeat,
Jackie was in Albany.
Albany,
and she goes, where are your dead relatives as a joke?
Yep.
And then I sent her exact GPS coordinates. And she... And there's a picture of the garage my great grandfather built.
A 4-car garage.
Yeah. Clearly, Jackie, it's two houses with like 20. If you look at the census reports from that time,
which I never will, but
two
thank
brothers
God.
Had like 10 kids.
Right.
That's minimum is 4 cars. And some of them are like in their 20s that are living at home still.
Wow.
Anyway, so he built all that, mm-hmm. and then the only thing that survived, apparently, is the garage part.
Right.
And you photoshopped yourself in front of the picture from Google Maps, and I, for a second, thought you actually went there.
Except for the fact that it was clearly taken in the summer.
It wasn't clearly taken.
In the summer.
I don't know the weather. I don't track Albany weather while you're in town.
Such
okay?
a California thing. What? There's weather. There's seasons. And I didn't want to do it, but Andy was like, because he did it. He said I didn't do a very good Photoshop
job.
That's what I thought. I was like, it's a better Photoshop job than I would have done.
Yes.
So he did a nice job. Anyway, so I hate practical jokes, and so I didn't get that the top 2,000. I was like, I kept suggesting to that guy comics.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, thanks so much. And I'm like, I'm such. And then finally somebody explained it to me about 3 or 4 minutes in. And I was like,
there are 2,000 comedians though in the United States, right?
There's so many comedians in the United States. Before I came here this very evening,
yeah,
I did a set. And then I went to Starbucks to wait for you to come back from your set. Mm-hmm. And there was Darren Carter. Darren Carter at the same Starbucks.
Was he coming back from comedy or a boxing session?
He was heading to the store for a Christmas party, which I have not been invited to. Wait a minute. There's still no parking. Allow me to alert the media that there's still no fucking parking.
You have to park up a hill, pay $15, and then walk down the hill.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not it.
Sometimes you can get in that lot that's a little bit further down on Sunset that's like $2. But you have to... It's a miracle to get in.
It's almost like you're talking to yourself right over there.
He's nodding. He's nodding.
Yeah. That's right. You and Kyle are bonding over this.
Over parking at the store.
About the parking at the store. Yeah. It's so... But anyway, but what cracked me up was... Oh, you know, we started talking about comedy, like you do.
Sure.
And he was like, just, he's got a new podcast, brand new podcast.
Yeah.
And he's like, how much, is there money?
God.
I was like, too soon, man. Too soon. I was like, and I was trying so hard. I was like, you know, you remember that you'd started doing stand-up comedy for fun, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no, and I still love it. I'm just trying to get out on the road. And he's having, you
know.
He's got a kid. He's got a life. He wants to do the stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
We can say that we, you know, the compromises we make for mortgages and children and stuff, I think, are real.
Yeah.
The Jake Johansson Touch Me t-shirt comes to mind. Do you realize I told you I busted him on that? I was like, what the hell is this? And he said, I have a mortgage. Leave me alone. And I was like, done. Except for I will do some mocking. I love Jake Johansson with the power of the sun. Anyway.
But also, he's so good. Like, he's such a great writer. Like, you always think of, this is like an old road idea, but of people that have to sell t-shirts aren't that good of a comic. That used to kind of be the way it was, right?
That was it was.
And so he's always someone you just put on this pedestal of, oh, he would never need to.
Sell a t-shirt or need to.
I know.
There must be a Scrooge McDuck pile of money every time he writes a new amazing scalpel-ridden joke. But the...
Scalpel-ridden joke?
Like, you know, it's a bad analogy.
Okay.
Anyway, strike it from the record.
I'm glad I called you on it.
Me too. So anyway, he's asking me, you know, about advertising and all these things and the Amazon banner and the donation button and the like all. And I'm telling him and I'm just, and my Sound Exchange money. He wanted to know how much Sound Exchange money I was getting a month. And I'm a huge fan of transparency. And
right.
Then
did he tell you his?
He did not. And
did
I
you
was
ask?
Like, I did. And then he just kind of glossed over it and kept going. So he didn't want, and I'm not going to press anybody because I think, you know, I was just thinking there's very few women comics or comics, people of color who have cornered me and tried to squeeze my brain quite as much as a straight white dude. And I mean, I will get,
right.
And right. I will give the same advice to everybody, you know, and, you know, send your avails on a Sunday. Did you send the dates? Like, cause we were talking about working a club and a club that hasn't booked him in 2 years. And I said, yeah, she hasn't booked me in 2 years, but I keep sending my avails because there was a 3-year break once, and then she brought me back, and he goes, oh, she brought you back after 3 years? And I said, yes. It's hilarious to me that you would that's what you'd pull out of it. He's like, yeah, because I'm at 2. And I said, well, are you still sending your avails? And he said, no, I send an email every 6 months or so, and I'd say, hey, how's it going? And I was like, that's cryptic. Why would you send your avails?
Yeah, no one wants to say how it's going. It's not. It's never going good.
Who? Yeah,
I'm still in show business. It's not
all
going
in
good.
Show business. Do you have a new credit? I'll send avails with a new credit.
Here's my new Conan.
Exactly.
Here's a golden opportunity for you to remember.
Yeah. Do you want to watch me on HBO?
I still
two
do
dope
comedy.
Queens? I still do stand up comedy. You might. You have a comedy club. what a coincidence. Let's get together. It was nice to talk to him about it.
He lives very close by. And our kids, my kids in middle school now, but they were going to the same.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, we've had trouble with the same aide at the school.
Oh, fair
the
enough.
The one who called the cops on my son is also driving them nuts too.
Them nuts possibly as well.
It's possible that children of comedians are troublesome in school.
They possible. Might be a little mouthy. Turns out you have sarcastic parents, you get mouthy children.
Yes.
That's what you get.
I'm de-stressing. I went to New York this weekend.
Yep.
I did 9 sets Friday and Saturday. I did 4 on Friday, 5 on Saturday.
What?
And
is the stand back?
No. Oh my God. The stand, they're coming back, I think, in January. But okay. they do these pop-up shows where they just, on a Saturday night, they take over a club. Not a comedy club, but just a club that they can turn into a comedy club. And they've been doing it at some venues that are better than others.
Like,
I've been doing them, you know, for a couple months now. And this last one was at this place called Subculture on Bleecker Street, and it was great. I'm like, God, you should just take this one over.
Right. Why don't you live here?
Oh, it was nice.
Where'd you do the sets?
Stand-up, New York, the Broadway, Gotham, and the Stands pop-up place.
And
yeah, and I just kind of bopped around all night.
9 sets.
Yes. It was good. It was, because this is Sunday.
This is the week.
Right. Yep. So in 2 days I go on tour with Conan.
Right.
And I'm doing a 15-minute set, just one a night, but I'm following Conan. I'm following Conan O'Brien, who's doing 30 to 40.
What? So he's opening with 30 to 40?
Yeah.
And then going up.
Then I go up, then 2 or 3 more acts go up, and then Conan comes back and does like Q&A and stuff.
Okay.
That's what I hear the structure of the show has been.
Fair enough.
Other people. But anyway, so I just want guess I could do old stuff that I know would work, but it you know how old stuff feels. It feels old.
It doesn't feel as fun.
And you're not excited about it. And I'm like, if I could just get this one fucking chunk, just, it's almost there. It's bumpy, but it's almost there. And I kept trying it, like, just little tiny tweaks on every single show. Is just moving things around and trying them in different ways. And I was really depressed on Friday night afterwards. I'm like, I hate my voice. I hate every joke. And you know, it's that thing where you're preparing for a TV set where you just feel so squished and boxed in because you're only doing these jokes and you're doing them over and over again. And you don't feel like a comic. You feel like just like a machine or something.
Right, right.
So I was kind of depressed. And then on Saturday, because this happens to me I'm like preparing for something and I get really anxious about it.
Yeah.
And then you do all the work and then you get to the thing and it's like, okay, I can't do any more work.
You can't do any
more
work.
I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out there and do the very best I can with all the, and know in my back of my head, I've did every fucking spot I could.
Yep.
I've done all the prep work I could possibly
do. You
do
more prep work. My last Conan, I tried to do the prep work like you would, and it actually, I might have lost a hair. it was so intense. I won't be doing that again. The way you prepare is different from the way I prepare.
Sure.
But it's so admirable to watch. So I was like, I should do that too. And what it is it's your fucking process. And
yes.
I'm going to let you have that. Because it works for you. And it you end up, you do the work and then the work pays off.
Well, to me, it's like how we used to prepare swimming for swim meets and stuff.
Yeah.
Where my coach, now, of course, a pedophile, but he wasn't all bad. He would say, we would have these brutally hard workouts in you know, certain months of the year. And part of it was so that you would know when you're up on the blocks, you know, that you did the hardest workouts possible and you couldn't be more prepared for the race. Right.
Right.
So maybe I have that sort of mentality with stand-up.
Right, that's how you were trained.
Yes.
To prepare for things.
Do as many. But I mean, So anyway, I mean, I like a lot of people do that, though. I don't feel like I'm alone in that.
Everyone's... No, I'm sure a lot of people do it. I don't know anyone else. But I'm sure a lot of people do
So Saturday rolls around, and I'm like, okay, I got 4 tonight. One of them's first one's at Subculture.
Okay.
And sometimes with the stand, they're doing all the pop-ups in the Lower East Side, which is very... 25 years old to 29. Yeah. They don't have kids. So there's not an immediate connection with me. And I'm like, okay, I have to have my personality has to come out first and then the jokes come later.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think I've been just really working these jokes and going, you know, while I'm frowning and I'm not smiling or having fun, I'm like, if I just say these words, does this get a laugh? Okay, good. So that's it, you know, yes, that's a yes. That's a check that off. And I'm not having the fun time a comic's supposed to have on stage.
Right.
I'm just like,
that actually sounds weird.
Just marching
what
through
are you
my
doing?
Act.
Yeah.
So I just like, all right, let me just have a just kind of be a personality, just go out, you know, lead with a personality first and then do the jokes. It's just a tiny shift in how you think of what you're doing on stage.
Yeah.
How you walk out almost, yeah, where the crowd's like, ah, okay, I know you, versus you don't know me till I tell my first joke. That's
right.
You know, it's a different sort of stance, I think. Mm. So then the first two shows went great. So I have an 8:15,
right,
Lower East Side, right?
Yep.
The next set's 9:15. Okay. So it's 45 minutes to get up there because I get off stage at 8:30. And there's SantaCon was in Manhattan.
Oh, right.
There were Santas all over the place, Jackie. And it took almost an hour to get up to stand up. I couldn't believe it. So I was texting them and calling them. I'm like, ETA, 9:18. Don't let the crowd go. So I'm all anxious. That makes me very anxious if I'm
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
So I pay the cabbie way in advance. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to run out of this cab, just so you know. So here you go.
Have some money.
Yeah. And so he has no incentive to get there fast now because I paid him already. But I run up. Okay. So that set goes well. And then the next tour at the Broadway, and the Broadway.
Well, that's good.
Well, yeah, but they were, sometimes those crowds are like, they're from all over the world. They're not
international.
They don't know what comedy is. You know, they can be like, they get barked in a lot, you know, from Times Square. And, one lady had a breakdown during my set because she got the wrong check, so she started crying.
Oh my god!
There's a lot going on.
Oh my god, that's a lot.
So then I was like, it wasn't the same feeling as the other two sets, and then I was like, oh man, I still don't know if this joke works or not, and I don't want to fucking try it in a theater after Conan and have it go, oh, find out it's a 50% joke where it's going to work 50% one way and 50% the other.
I need
an 80%. They all got to be 80%ers.
Right. I'm glad you're willing to cut yourself 20% slack. How about that?
But so then I fly home today, right?
Yeah.
From JFK. And a long time ago, I took this gig. So do you want to do a fundraiser in Pasadena on Sunday night? And I'm like, well, I'm flying in. And I didn't say no. I said, I'm going to land at 8:30 and your show starts at 9. It seems like impossible. Well, we could push it 15 minutes. And then I'm like, okay. But what was I thinking? Why don't I remember that I get tired?
So right, you get tired.
This entire plane ride, I'm like, god damn it, I go to this fucking thing. Like, I just want to go home.
Right.
And so I take a cab here. I change into these awful clothes. I don't have any makeup. I forgot. So I'm just going there with greasy hair and no makeup to do a show at a fundraiser. And I get there and they're going to have an intermission. And I'm like, ah, get me out of here. I want to go home. And
why is there an intermission?
I don't know.
And oh, because it's a fundraiser.
Silent
auction. Some sort of problem. Yes.
And then one of the jokes I'm working is about my son, like, having, you know, bad grades and he's going to be homeless. Well, guess what? The benefits for homeless people, and two homeless people spoke before he went up. I'm like, oh, I can't even try my homeless joke now.
Can't even do. Oh my god. Nope.
So so I was annoyed, and you know, sometimes you get that annoyance where you're actually going to have a good set because you're so angry that you're there. So it went well.
Oh, good. Well, thank God. It's essentially, I got a new app because Nina Manny on the Dork Forest told me to download an app called Ebates.
Could I have one text from you that doesn't mention Ebates? and your $9 you got back?
I'm up 16. But here's the thing. All it's making me do is buy more shit. And I have these pants. I bought these pants. So I put them on.
They look comfy.
They're enormously comfy. Guess what they're not? Stage pants. But I went on stage today with them, with also no makeup, and just I was like, wait, I remember where this place, because I did a show tonight. It was a lovely show.
Yeah.
Or at least the people were lovely. Mm-hmm. I remembered where it was, and I was like, oh, it's that skid ball. It's a strip mall in the Cahuenga Pass.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I was there like 20 years ago. That's where you go to die. That, I mean, that's like a terrible strip mall. It's a dirtbag strip mall. I show up. It has been gentrified within an inch of its very life. There's a beautiful Lebanese place. There's a Starbucks. There's I mean, it's turned into like the finest strip mall in the Cahuenga Pass. And so I walk in. I'm like, oh, shit. And
Cahuenga Pass is that just Cahuenga Boulevard?
It's Cahuenga that turns into Barham.
So there's a Wait, strip not mall Barham. There? Yeah, kind of folds into Barham.
Highland.
Right. Oh, okay. So it's in North
Ventura,
Hollywood?
Ventura, Cahuenga Pass, and then Highland, right?
Okay.
Is that...
I don't know. Pass always seems like it's going through between mountains. And
it is. The okay. Cahuenga Pass does. It's the road that goes by the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
That's
Cahuenga
Pass. Okay.
Oh, so
it's before the bowl.
Okay.
Still in the valley, sort of.
I'm trying to visualize this place.
It's right past the Universal on-ramp.
Oh, right. I know that.
Right. It used to be, there wasn't anything there.
Right.
And there was
the Starbucks is right next to the on-ramp.
No.
Oh, it's a different. No, it's, okay.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
But whatever
about.
It is I remember it being like just a weedy overgrown kind of parking lot. I don't know. Was I here in the 1912s? Because it felt, and then I walked in. I was like, oh my God, this place is, it's clean. It's got all kinds of weird art. And my set did not go well. I was very irritated. The comics liked it. Well, good for me. Oh. Whatever.
And, the kiss of death when comics like your set.
I want the comics to like it, but I also wanted the five people that were real
yes.
to thoroughly enjoy it as well.
Right.
Plus, because I'm working on this. It's a new sex joke, and it's a Christmas sex joke. And
the holidays are approaching.
You
got to get your
us.
Christmas dick jokes out
your
there.
Christmas dick joke. Christmas
January
dick.
Will be here right around the corner.
Exactly. Dick. What I'm going to keep working on until Armenian Christmas? Give me a break. Anyway, so, but the thing is, so I tried that, and I tried my new sort of Vietnam, Southeast Asian stuff, and that also, it was too, I don't know what happened. I mean, my best work was with the comics, and the bartender was like, oh, I like it. And you know what? That's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And then I did the weekend with Maria in New York.
Right.
And we did Albany and then Tarrytown, which was a weird... In Albany, we did the Funny Bone.
And how's that club?
Oh, the club's... It's nice. It's a little too big. You know how they're all just a little too big now? Because they thought that they were going to get Fluffy to stay.
Oh my
and then
God.
He went to theaters anyway.
Yes. How many does it seat?
It probably seats 400.
Oh.
It's too big.
No.
Yeah, 350 to 400. And it was full. She sold out.
Wow.
It was great. The next one was a theater in Tarrytown. That seated probably 600 to 800.
Wow.
And it was almost full, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's
That's
doing great.
Amazing. She's doing great.
She's doing great. But the Funny Bone... So, and we were talking to him about it. There was like, it didn't end up being drama, but it ended up encouraging Maria and I to write down a list of women headliners that we could bring.
That's what he did at Hilarities.
Did you?
I just kind of started writing down names.
Well, I want to print.
Yeah.
I just want to print
something.
We should
just have a list printed
with
out.
Like credits. And then.
Yeah.
And then just sort of...
These are road headliners. They can
headline
your room.
These are road headliners.
Okay.
And it's
not precious. Okay. They can fucking murder here.
Albany Funny Bone?
Yeah.
Marie goes in to get paid. She comes out and she's like, they have the calendar up for 2018. You might want to take a look at it.
Oh, no.
And I said, what? And she goes, one woman comic. And...
For all of 2018?
Yeah. And it was... it wasn't even just a normal... woman comic, right? It wasn't just me or you.
It was Amy Schumer.
It was Michelle Wolf.
Wow.
And you're like, I said, oh, well, and we're talking to the staff,
so
including
you have
the
to
manager.
Get a late night show to get to headline
the Funny Bone in Albany.
God.
I know. And everyone was so nice because I was like, I said, so I bet she filled the room. And they didn't, they were like, she really did. And I was like, no, she would.
Yeah. She's fucking famous.
I was like, you know what you gotta do? You gotta give Karen Rontowski a chance. She will fucking knock their socks off and then they'll be happy. But it's like, I mean, It was so funny.
You
because
know all those dudes aren't filling that room. A 400-seater? Not many people can fill a 400-seater.
No, no.
The ones they can don't want to wear clubs, as you've said. Oh, that guy? No way.
Yeah, every
no
year.
No way.
Every year he comes, and I sat nice there while guy. I got paid. Sure, nice who guy. Cares? And he's a perfectly nice guy. But I was like, so does he come every year? And the woman manager was like, he does. And I said, is he filling the room? And she goes, no, I don't know why he's really not. And I said, no.
I'm really not nice. Trying to take work away from him, but if your argument is...
If your argument is filling the room, then you have to... And that's a guy who doesn't... And it's all of them, right? It's the same...
Yeah. Does she book the room?
No. It's a funny bone. But she was...
Who books it? Is there Funny Bone Central? Is that is that Dave Stroop?
Well, I wonder if it is Dave Stroop.
Doesn't he book like Columbus? 14 Funny Bones? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I spent $1,100 to audition for him because I had to fly to Columbus. I was supposed to do a 45-minute showcase on a Wednesday or Tuesday, right? And I get there and he's like, you know what? I forgot that there was a guy coming in. He's already doing the 40-minute spot. Just do 15, I can tell. And I was like,
yeah, he makes you.
I put myself up. I flew here on my dime. I showed up at the Columbus Funny Bone and he gave me a 15-minute set and then he never booked me.
Wow.
And he was like, you seem funny. And I was like, yes. Yes, I do.
That's shitty.
It was really shitty, and it was 20 years ago, and I'm so over it. I am so not sadly over it. And, you know, it's... But in the same instance, I was like, I'm doing Anna... So this week, and this will have gone up, I'm doing Bloomington.
Right.
The next week, I'm doing Acme. Mm-hmm. The week this drops, I'll be at Minneapolis doing Acme. Mm-hmm. And then I'm in Ann Arbor. And when I first worked Ann Arbor, which is the Ann Arbor showcase.
Yeah.
Same guy books it.
Yeah, Roger Feeney.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Roger Feeney. And when he hired me, he said, yeah, the people, he doesn't own it. He books it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the owners have this theory and it's, they want one woman headliner a month. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think 15 years later, that's what they're still doing. Told him about it because people have been asking if they could feature for me, and I'm like, I will ask and know that features it's a shitty life, and it feels like it's a shittier gig than it is when I was featuring.
Yeah, it is
because
there's no housing.
There's no hotel.
There's nothing. There's no travel.
There's no hotel. And then you get there and what? It's $500 or $300?
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's not, you don't even feel good offering somebody that.
Right. I was like, well, maybe I can bump it some, but then I'm pulling out of my cash.
Right.
And so I have to want to spend a week with you. I'm so sorry. It's a fucking bummer. So I recommended, it's a friend of mine from Minneapolis, one of the younger Minneapolis comics, Andy Erickson.
Oh, yeah.
You know Andy?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. Well, she was the top five in Last Comic Standing. Wow. There's no reason she should be featuring for me, right? Yeah. But she's working on something very specific.
Okay.
So she asked if she could feature for me. And so I called Roger because I forgot that she can't actually do that gig. And it's 2 weeks from now and he's already booked a feature probably anyway.
Yeah.
So, but I called him. I hung up. Didn't leave a message because I realized in the midst of it all, he called me right back.
Oh.
And I said, oh, I accidentally dialed you. And he said, butt dial. And I said, it was not a butt dial. And then I explained the longest fucking story in the world. And I said, you should know her anyway. And he said, you know, I'm always looking for new women comics just because I like to mix it up. And I was like, I know I'm on an 18-month rotation, and which is great. I mean, it just means that he's booking more. It would, you know, because we talked about this before, is that if there's six women comics in most calendars, headliners. The other thing that I noticed from what people were sending me from their home clubs, their local clubs, mm-hmm. is that there's six women comics a year headlining. There's nine... not straight white guys. So black, brown, Asian, and gay, they have to share nine spots, which yeah. is, it feels almost worse.
Yeah.
Fucking blows, man.
Yep. It's shameful, really.
It's unfortunate. There needs to be a level playing field, which is why Maria wants us to just leave sheets of paper with information on women
that's
comics.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something where, like, if this was like a regular job, like, you'd call the government. You'd call
you get to call
the
HR.
Equal Opportunity Employment and go, look at this. This is not right, you know?
Right. And there is no HR.
No.
Oh, well.
What was I going to say? I fucking forgot.
Did you?
Yes.
So I did a benefit today.
Yeah, for?
Lady Parts Justice.
Oh, cool.
During the afternoon. It was me, Danielle Perez.
Yeah.
And Frangela.
Oh, fine.
Francis and Angela.
Francis and Angela.
Yeah, they used to have they had a cartoon for a while. They were a comedy duo.
They were always on Best Week Ever for a while when I was on Best Week Ever, but they shot out of L.A., so I never met them until
I've
later
only met
life.
Them, like, in Lady Parts Justice. They're very funny.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. And everybody had great sets, and it was super fun. And then we found out things that were nuts about, do you know the Catholic Church just bought two... They now own the most hospitals in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, that's a terrible idea, because it means that they don't want to perform abortions.
Right.
They won't serve transsexuals.
Oh,
they
my
won't
God.
Serve... they're not psyched about homosexuals.
And birth control.
And birth control and all the things. So, it's called, like, Divinity... It was... I mean, and the name of it's dumb. The name of it offended. So...
Okay. I just remember when I was at Ann Arbor when I was pregnant.
Oh,
I was,
yeah,
like, 7 months pregnant, and I did shows in Ann Arbor, and then like 2 or 3 years later I went back with my kid, because I have a bunch of pictures of him. When that's when I would hire somebody a stranger to come to my hotel room and watch my kid.
Oh, right, like a local
yeah, there was like this
company.
Babysitting service.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I, during the day, I just took him to, museums or whatever, parks
right,
and
malls.
Stuff like that. But God, that it's so fucking hard to do that. And Kira just sent us a picture. She was driving back from Stir Crazy.
Yeah.
And she had her daughter in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what she did.
So she had to bring one of the kids to that weekend.
Yeah. I don't know what she did with, if she had
the
a sitter
boy.
Or somebody,
yeah.
You know, how she finagled it when she's on stage. But when a kid is that age, they want so much attention, and you know, you're headlining, you want to fucking sleep in, you don't want to have to be on the whole time, but you do not get a break from your child when you're on the road with them. It's
yeah.
really, really hard.
Yeah.
That's
intense.
Like, the only time you get the break is when you're on stage.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, I might run long.
Yeah. My kid would wake me up. He'd wake me up at 6 a.m. It's Saturday morning. Closed Friday night show. He wants to go out. He wants to do stuff. And
sure
you're in charge of him.
Yep.
Oh, it's so hard. When I saw that picture of her, I'm like, oh, I fucking remember those days.
Yep. Toddler on the road.
Yeah.
Because that kid's just a baby.
Yeah.
And her daughter is little.
Yeah. Kevin Hart. Have you even paid attention to this?
Oh, right. I didn't follow it all the way through.
May I give you my take?
Explain. What happened 9 years ago?
He tweeted a lot of jokes that wouldn't be things I would tweet, or a lot of people I know and love would tweet. You know, they're not great jokes, and
no, they were kind of hacky. If I looked at it's just been covered.
It's big. Okay, so just take out the fact that it's like, good. but like a couple years ago, Tracy Morgan got in huge trouble for making almost the same joke about how he would kill his kid if he was gay, or he doesn't want his kid to be. The premise is, I don't want my son to be gay.
Right.
So, you know,
and not for the reason that it might make their life harder. It's never that premise. That is never the premise. It's going to be super difficult.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just like, okay, I that's what you're going to go in on.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I don't know. You know, we all have our things we like to talk about. So, but he accepted the gig hosting for the Academy Awards, right?
Oh, right.
So, you know, this is a hugely, it's a high, the highest profile gig a comic can get, basically.
Right.
And you're working for the Academy Awards, and you're working for ABC and Disney, like every, across the board, it's corporation after corporation after
until
corporation.
Until you get to Jesus. I mean, literally.
But these are people that are fucking very careful about shit. And so when these tweets are unearthed, they're, you know, they're like, you got to apologize.
Yeah.
Like, morally, I think you might have to. It, but there's also this comics going, you never apologize for jokes. Yeah, jokes. If they're good jokes, you
right,
can,
right.
But you don't apologize.
I'm going to apologize for the set I had tonight. It's I'm not above that.
Yeah, it's but when a company is paying you an ungodly amount of money and you're being given this kind of a high profile thing, you're working for the man and you have to do what they say. It's a corporate gig.
It's a corporate
just
gig.
Just like colleges are corporate gigs.
Yeah.
They pay a lot because they have a lot of rules that
standards.
You have to follow.
They have issues.
We find tweets where you're offending 80% of the people that are nominated for the Oscars because this is fucking Hollywood.
You got sweeping generalization, you guys.
You got to apologize.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to do. Just say, I'm sorry. And he didn't want to. And then...
Then he did.
After he'd taken himself out of the running, it's like all you had to do was do that two tweets ago. Everything would have been fine.
Right. There's a level of sort of ego that happens
yes.
when you start doing stadiums that
yeah.
I think that you're like, I don't have to do anything because I have a giant, I have a Scrooge McDuck pile of money that is going to buffer everything. And then you're like, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to say I don't want to do your dumb job, and then I'll apologize. It's just a weird, it's a power grab. It's a power thing and an ego thing mm-hmm. that didn't make any sense to me. But I thought his apology was real. It felt good. And then I think he ruined it afterwards. Like, he didn't say that thing, which I hate in apologies, which is, if I offended anyone.
Right.
You've clearly offended someone. Never say in your apology, if I offended you, because then you're just arguing against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're apologizing, you know you offended. So, and that's what he said. He said, I offended some people, and I'm sorry. I'm
right.
working on being a better person, and I'm continuing that. And that was the whole thing he said. But then he said something afterwards that I can't remember. But it was something along the lines of...
Why doesn't he have people that stopped him? Why, first of all, why don't you have people going through... If you're that... you're And he's on... To me, he's on a track to be like The Rock, right? He wants to be that famous. He wants
okay.
to be that big. He's a movie star, stadiums, all that kind of stuff. Like, there are comics that head down that path. And why don't... You don't have people that just go through your Twitter feed and take shit like that out? I don't understand... Why you wouldn't hire somebody to just go, hey, search yeah. the word FAG through my tweet and then just delete those tweets, please.
Well, how about this? I have a bot that deletes everything older than nine months or a year ago or something.
All those gems, Jackie. Come on, you can't lose that stuff.
You and Andy Kindler and Eddie Pepitone. These are the here's what I said, because I got that bot probably 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
2009 is actually when I joined Twitter, so it was not 10 years ago, but probably 5 years ago. I saw that I had hundreds of thousands of tweets, and I became embarrassed at how many times I had typed into the Twitter bot.
Yeah.
And so I Googled the words, delete my tweets. And there's a bot called delete your tweets or whatever. And it's free. And it just essentially deletes everything over 30,000. So right now there are 37,000 tweets that you could read of mine.
Not enough. It still doesn't capture your essence.
Andy laughed and laughed. He said, only 37,000 things you've said people can read. I said, yes, which gives you an idea of how many tweets I had. So Kindler says to me, well, he essentially goes, he did not say this, but it's the only way I can think of put it. He's like, gutless. You got to stand by your tweets. And Pepitone was like, I printed my tweets. I printed all of my tweets. So Eddie Pepitone printed his damn tweets.
And then he deleted them?
And then I don't know what he did, but okay. he had somebody go through them all
oh,
and print them.
Well, you can easily, you can download the whole archive and print it. You don't have to have someone go
through
them.
But you have to have them reformatted because they come out in an Excel spreadsheet.
They do look shitty.
And they look super shitty. But, so he had someone do that. And then do you remember when, this was like 3 or 4 years ago, he went around reading his tweets?
Well, so many comics do that.
Well, no, he had a stack, a sheet of papers.
Oh, I didn't see.
Like reams of paper that he brought on stage. He said, "These are my tweets." It was actually very, very funny.
I like that he's reading it off paper and not his iPhone. That's great.
Yeah.
But the other thing is I don't understand why he doesn't, why Kevin Hart's management, there was no one around to go, "Oh, this is crisis mode. You can't respond. Give me your phone." What? It's like taking it from Trump. Like, here, give me your phone. This is how you apologize. It doesn't feel right to you. It's not funny. It's not your voice. It doesn't matter. It has to say these words in this order, and you just shut up after that. And you let it'll go away in a week.
You would think, we give more credit to managers and agents and handlers.
But he's
and stuff.
Got a whole he has a whole team. I think it seems like he. I mean, he's on it. He's
his. You know what? Mitch Hedberg's team let him die.
Oh, shit!
It's not their job to keep him alive. It is their job to keep his career alive.
Yeah,
but they're gonna drop the ball like anybody, you know? And. You know, and here, you know who was at the Funny Bone?
Oh, yeah.
And so there was a conversation with staff about that person.
Yeah.
And when I say person, I mean guy. Because clearly it's going to be a dude at the Albany Funny Bone.
Right. Of course.
No, it's Elizabeth Montgomery. What?
Well,
what
it could only
name.
Be Michelle Wolf. We've established they only would book one a year.
What? The weirdest. I just came up with the name Elizabeth Montgomery and I got nothing from you.
She's a bewitched lady,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Where the fuck did that come from?
I don't know, and it made no sense.
Oh, I know, but I wanted support for it. I'm so tired.
I am too. I'm too tired to support.
Fair enough. I think we're at a half an hour.
How much?
41. Comic of the week. Last week we did it at like 50 or something.
Yeah.
Let us speak about our friend who we were certain
had. Maybe we did her on one of the lost episodes.
I made somebody listen on the Patreon. There are two of the lost episodes that I've posted.
Yeah.
And she is not either of the comic of the weeks on either of the first two.
Are there comics of the week on that?
I think so. I think we created it relatively early.
We did. So are there people that we thought we've done that
we haven't done?
Are buried?
Yeah. And guess what? If you think it's you, it is. But maybe we'll do you again. Because now there's the lost episodes are lost. You have to give us money, Patreon, for it to happen. For
but
you
also,
to hear.
Are there female comics like listening and then they get angry when we don't say their name? Kyle's nodding.
Of course. Of course. Well, and Kyle,
maybe
of course,
we should
has to
do
take the
comic
of
the
it.
Week right off the bat. And then if people just don't want to listen, they can turn it off.
And get out.
Yeah.
Like those old 60s shows where it's a bunch of names that roll under the screen.
Oh, right. We could just. Well, and here's the good news about the comic of the week.
Yeah.
We're not going to run out.
Yes, I know.
It's not
we just
like,
8 weeks. That's it. We'll get to you.
Yeah. Well, and
guess what? It's not like the Albany Funny Bone is booking off of our suggestions. Okay.
Right? Maybe one day. But guess who I really like as a stand-up comic?
Who?
Felicia Michaels.
Yay!
Felicia Michaels.
I love Felicia.
And it's at Felicia Michaels, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me. Because Felicia Michaels. I remember the first time I featured for her, and I've told the story on this show. I know I have. Maybe it's in the lost episode, but it was we were in Grand Forks, North Dakota, playing the Westward Ho in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and where the pool was shaped like a boot.
Oh, that's
and
right.
That's it. And it was
Felicia Michaels.
And she is she's a smart. She's got back in the day when I first worked with her. She had my favorite It was a political dick joke.
Oh, really?
It was my it was about Bill Clinton having really big feet.
Uh-huh.
And it was my favorite political dick joke I had ever heard in my life. And I had not heard one previously. And so it was just well-crafted, hilarious. And to this day, whenever I see her do stand-up, I always laugh. Do you know why?
Why?
She's great.
Yes. She is. And she's been headlining a really long time.
Yep.
She took a little time off to raise her kids and came back, like, I don't know, 8 years ago or something like that, maybe longer. But she's great. And her kids are kind of 18 and maybe 20 or something.
Yeah, they're almost adults, if not fully.
And so she's sort of like done with that core parenting stuff. And she's, I look at her, I'm like, oh, it's... There's a future for me. I can touch it. I can
just reach. But another 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. And but she just posted, I don't know which, something. My kid's 12, and she said, "This is when it starts to go really fast." And then I was like, sobbing in a corner.
Right
now, I was gone this weekend.
Remember when he was just so small he could fit?
I know.
Anyway, that's your joke.
But he, that's right. I'm not going to do that joke on the tour.
No?
It gets an ooh, which I don't mind, but I don't want to start with an ooh.
Right. Nobody wants an ooh.
Not in 15 minutes. I don't mind.
45. Spread.
Yeah. 45. Give me some time to, you know, play around. Thursday. I left Thursday night to go to New York on the red eye. And so I was going to Thursday afternoon hang out with my kid. And there were mixed signals. I sent a text to his dad. His dad didn't receive the text. And we both sent each other screenshots of our phones at the same time. And my text is on my phone, but it's not his. So I'm like, all right, maybe you photoshopped it out immediately. I don't know. But I was really pissed because I was like, I'm going to have 4 hours with my kid. And then I'm going to be in New York. And then next week, I'm going to be gone all this next week. So I hardly have any time with them. And then I was just crying and I'm not doing anything right. I don't get to see my kid enough, and I'm not funny enough, and these jokes aren't done enough, and enough.
Right, you're just beating yourself up.
I'm tired.
And you're tired. Yeah.
And my hair's greasy right now from this flight.
Right. I know. Well, all I did was just, I literally am just, I'm just so tired. And now I had two press things, one for Indiana and one for Minneapolis.
Oh, you had to do them ahead of time.
Phoners. Mm-hmm. And they were great. Everyone was nice, but everyone wants to talk about the big issues. Nobody just wants to go, hey, do you have any new jokes? Yeah, I got some new jokes. Everyone's going to enjoy the show. And instead, it's...
You have to talk about Trump.
I got to talk about Trump. Ugh. And I'm like, what? I don't know. Oh, I did one where... it wasn't even comedy related. The guy was asking me about a foreign policy. And I'm like, and it was a classic situation where don't ask the comedian about the thing that I don't know enough about, but I will still try to riff off of and still try to have an opinion. It's a terrible idea.
You're talking about the Hatch Act. And
I'm like, Majinsky? Is that how you pronounce it? And so, I mean, it's... So, and just going from the gig and the people were really nice. And then, you know, I was setting up merch and doing all this stuff. One of the security guys at the Tarrytown gig, I got off stage, and in the weirdest, meanest voice, this guy goes, I mean this in the nicest way, but you're fucking nuts to me. And I was like, what? And he goes, just crazy. You're nuts, man. With like, with
any explanation?
No explanation. I just said, well.
Your act, you mean? Like he just thought you were kooky on stage or something?
But he went, you're nuts. Instead of, you're nuts. You know?
And
like it was literally, it felt vaguely threatening.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going to go set up the merch. And he goes, yeah. Well, we're done here. And he said to me, we're done here. And
that's,
I was like,
weird.
Yes. Yes, we are. Until I tip you. Because I have to tip people who are the security guys who help with Maria with the pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, we are done until I give you $20 later. And it was very... I stuck to my guns. You nice. Rude to me. Watch what happens next. Oh, $20. And so the whole thing. And I don't know. I'm just... I'm tired of being squoze onto planes, even though I had an exit row. And I'd, matter of fact...
You're doing a lot of flying lately.
I'm doing so much... And my leg
like,
hurts.
The last couple months, your schedule has been bananas,
it's
in my opinion.
Banana land. And I'm not... And I feel slightly bad that we're not going to be home for Christmas, really.
Yeah.
Because I'm gone most of it.
Yeah.
And then Andy's going to join me for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm taking my kid to Japan.
Oh, yeah. Right? For Christmas.
Yeah, we're coming back on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my lady Hillary... Mm-hmm. At WME. I go, hey, and we have that weekend off at work.
Yeah.
So I'm available the 3rd through the 5th. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I gave the
You're
avail.
You're going to come back.
Hold on. I said I gave the avail. There's no way she's going to fill it, but I gave the avail, so it's not my fault. Right?
Right. You did Guess as much what? As you could. Guess who found you some work?
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
The next, no. I'm coming back from Japan on the 2nd. On the 3rd, I'm flying to Chicago.
Are you doing Zanies?
I'm doing Rosemont Zanies.
Rosemont Zanies?
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I have to get up on stage in Japan because I can't be off stage for 11 days and then all of a sudden turn around and headline.
You're going to pick up a set over there in Tokyo?
I got to pick up a set.
You gonna? Well, you want to talk to my guy in Hong Kong?
Yes.
All right.
No, I mean, it's...
Oh,
really?
Jenny Zagrino? Okay. She was just over there?
Oh. Okay, great.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, and then I have to do a set the 2nd, that night of the 2nd, just mm-hmm. to get, you know, here in LA to get my feet wet.
Or you could just listen to sets.
Yeah, that too. But you know, that feeling of you haven't been on stage and you're just.
But the thing is I mean, I kind of love that.
At least my first night there is a Thursday. It's not like Cleveland where it's a Friday first show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Thursday. So I can mess around a little bit. You know?
Yeah. That's cool that she's that she found you work.
Can't have some fucking local feature trying to murder me in Illinois.
One of the first times I ever did Zanies, Pat Dixon opened for me.
Yeah,
remember that guy?
I love Pat Dixon.
He's an amazing comic.
Oh yeah, yeah. I worked with him in Chattanooga a lot of times. He was from Tennessee, I think.
And so but that was the first headline week I had at Zanies downtown.
Oh okay.
And he featured for me.
Oh.
And he got off stage. And he closed on sort of the weirdest, meanest joke about his ex-wife that didn't make any... I was like, making friends, man. What the fuck? And
that's good, though.
Because, well, I mean, the first...
That sets you up well, right?
The 27 minutes of just sort of like really smart... There was some zings and some snark to it, but it wasn't... And then the last 3 minutes of, fucking hate my ex-wife. Made me laugh so hard.
Hey, man. But it's hard to get out of a relationship.
Yeah, well.
It's not easy.
And you got to write the 3 minutes that you write, I suppose. And so that first night, I literally, after our first night together, I was like, why aren't you headlining? And he goes, I don't know. He said that I might be able to, but if I came and featured once. And I was like, well, we're gonna plow through this week just trying to keep it together because it's going to be a hell of a show for these people.
Yeah.
And it was a great show. I mean, who does? I love it when the feature is great because then the whole show is really good.
Yes.
Like if the MC's great, the feature's great.
But if the feature is gunning for you, that's not fun.
Oh, that's weird. Like if he's, you remember that gig, that old joke at Stanhope's that no one could follow?
Yeah.
Where he, with the beer bottle and he would spew it all over his face like he was jerking off.
Yeah.
It was a genius. It was much less. It wasn't as hacky as it sounds, and it was actually really funny. But literally, it made every club in the country go, well, I take it you're not featuring anymore because it's impossible to follow that.
Here's what I want to know: do male headliners have this happen to them?
Yes.
Where the feature goes, hey, preemptively. If you need me to drop anything, you just let me know. That sort of passive aggressive, you may not be able to follow me.
Oh, fuck that.
Do you think, because I get that sometimes before they've seen me.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, that nothing makes me go, oh, I'll fucking follow you, motherfucker.
Right.
Then have someone offer to make it easy for me. right?
Yeah. What do you think?
Actually, I think it's, I mean, there's definitely like that, but I have found often it's because you get beat down by a lot of shitty dude headliners, like hacky headliners who will get mad at you for doing stuff in their wheelhouse.
Oh, really? Oh, that's not how maybe I take it defensively. I take it as an insult to a female headliner. No?
Right, to lose. Well, whenever, you know, there are some people who want the feature to ask them shit. And so I think you can be, you
wait,
can
Kyle
be trained.
Wrote down a name.
Mad about this, like famous.
Oh, he gets mad at people he does?
Like he gets mad at features?
Yeah.
He gets mad at everything. No, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Won't let him sell merch either.
Won't let him sell merch.
And cuts into their money.
Oh, that ain't good.
That is 1,000 reasons to stab that guy in the sleep.
I still like him.
I know. I was actually explaining to somebody your type. I was explaining to somebody. I was like, you know what you need to find? You need to find, Andy, there was a guy, there's a single guy that Andy was like, well, do you think Lori would like him? And I was like, and I was like, well, that's very sweet, but that is not anything but what she's looking for. She is not looking for that kind of gentleman at all. I'll tell you what she's looking for. it's a very specific type.
Break up with angrily. No, I met up with my ex recently. One of my exes.
Congratulations for having several exes.
The fun ex.
I don't have any.
Forgot who I'm talking to.
Exactly. It's just one and done.
Yeah. So, but no, I've actually this year had like lunch with an ex and one ex, and then I think I'm doing a tour of my exes. just
to remind yourself.
Like what happened? What did I do? Why am I picking? Why have I picked? Whatever.
Have they changed at all? Or are you seeing anything
now
new?
I observe. I'm like, oh, they never ask me about myself or my life. They never ask follow up questions. Like you almost have to force them to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And then they ask one, and then that's it. And then it's right back to their job.
Oh my God! And you were such a fucking that. You need a nice person.
Yeah. I mean, it'll all one day. We'll see.
Yeah. Fuck. All right. So, but the whole thing about features is, yeah, there's some features who, like, whenever anybody says to me, "Can I sell merch?" You know that they've been hurt. You know that they have had someone say they can't sell merch. Did we not just discuss for 3 minutes about the shitty road money that is featuring?
Yeah.
Every feature. They should get to sell merch more than headliners.
I insist, so I'm not the only one standing out there like an asshole.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
Please be an asshole with me.
Whenever a feature wants to sell merch, I'm like, "What do you sell? What do you got?" And I like to sort of analyze their merch and try to get them to sell it for 20, and tell them what Kathleen Madigan told me 5-6 years ago, which is everything's $20. You'll sell less items, but you'll make exactly the same amount of money. And you won't have to bring as much shit.
I literally just had a conversation about this in the green room yesterday.
Yeah?
That the strategy has changed.
You think that there's a different strategy? Is it the pay what you can thing? Pay what you can blow me. nope. I don't trust people.
Headliners all talk about how they make more money on pay what you want than on 20.
Yeah. No. Really?
Real, well, legit people.
I'm going to see it. I'm going to need to see a list of names on that.
You know,
one, please.
That show I just did with Phil Griffiths, where it's people pay afterwards. Mm-hmm. People were giving him $50 for a cover charge afterwards. Not everyone, but everyone was giving 20s.
You did a show where people paid afterwards?
Yeah, it was in Half Moon Bay.
Oh, that was the half.
Yeah.
I missed the whole thing where there was a.
And had it been a $5 cover.
Those two.
Wait, let me see.
Those two live inside a crystal clutching. That is.
They're real to me.
But I think those guys are.
They're both real. They're both very good comics. Those two
are probably selling to millennials.
Yeah.
Which might be a different market than you and I might be selling to, you know, Gen X.
But what's weird.
They like to peel out those 20s.
Yeah. I do. It the square does help because people are just like, they don't feel it, which $20 is fine. They don't have nobody has to give me $30 or, I mean, you might want to ask for more because of the book costs so much. And Maria Bamford has that that towel,
yeah,
that's being like hand silk screened and then finished in like by hand here.
That
it's
is
probably
so cool.
Being silk screened in China, but it's being hand finished here in
wow.
Los Angeles. And so I don't know how much they cost, but she's charging 20,
yeah,
and she should probably be charging more. But it's just kind of a fun thing that she's enjoying selling. I think.
How much time have we done? Adios, folks.